Hey guys, this is Gabe Andrade, the lead pastor of Tree of Life Church. Our vision is to lead people to become all-in followers of Jesus Christ. Our hope is that this podcast inspires you to grow deeper in your relationship with God and others. Enjoy this message.
Before we get into the Word of God, I did an interview with my mom and Ashley some time ago. We went to our archives, and it was so fun that I wanted to share it with you. So I hope you enjoy it.
My mother, an amazing woman, just the way she raised us, four boys. She worked. She took care of the house. She cooked almost every day. And she did it with grace and class. And she was an expert chancla thrower. And sorry, Mom. But I don't know how she did it. It's a different generation. And my wife also with the three daughters. And man, she does an amazing job. And so I want to ask them a few questions. And the first question that I want to ask is, what's the funniest thing that we said, Mom? The boys said to you. I probably said a few things. I was naive. I didn't know what I was asking. But what were some of the funny things? And Ashley as well, whoever wants to go first, what were some of the things that that you heard from us that made you chuckle?
Okay. Well, speaking of Gabe here, he does look a lot like his dad. But Gabe was born at almost a 10-pound baby, 23 inches long. And I don't think I'm even that. So you can imagine how I was walking. Yeah. So as he's growing up, he was very tall and very lanky, very, very slim, slender. I had to buy slim pants for him. And I don't think he liked that very much, because I remember his dad telling me that when he was growing up, he used to think that, you know, heavy people or chubbies like myself were healthy, and that's what attracted him. I'm so glad. Anyway, Gabe had this thing about being too skinny, and one day he just came up to me. He says, "Mom, how did you do it?" I said, "What? How'd you get the way you are? I want to be like that." He said, "I want to gain weight. I can't." But he said, "How did you get fat?" That's what he said.
I remember him saying that.
He did say that. I said, "Mijo, keep eating my tortillas. You'll be fine."
Yeah. How about you, babe? What are some of the things that the girls say to you, or the things that are funny?
Well, some of them are not appropriate, so yeah. I'm not going to. The most recent one, Phoebe, was like, we're cuddling. We love to cuddle. And, you know, everything falls when you're laying down. So she's like pinching my back. She goes, "What is that?" I'm like, "It's fat, baby. That's what it is. Why are you so squishy, Mom?"
Why are you so squishy? That's funny. So when it comes to motherhood, I know that this is a universal struggle that a mother deals with, guilt regarding being a mother. And so in what areas, what brings about that guilt and makes you feel guilty as a mother? I want to ask you that, because I know that you guys give 100%. I know you give 100%, and you have to give 100% to your kids and then also to your husband, which is almost sometimes like another child, right? So what are some of the things that mothers deal with regarding guilt? Just they feel guilty as moms.
Well, I wish that what I know now, I knew back then. I've learned a lot of things about what they dealt with, like fear, and I feel guilty that I didn't know all those details. The minute I conceived my four boys, I've been asked many times, "How did you do it that they all love God?" But when I held them in my arms, the first thing I said, "Lord, you gave me this gift. Help me through this journey. And I want to give them back to you." That was my constant prayer. I want to give my children back to you, Lord. And mothers do that prayer every night. "God, you gave me this child. I want to give him back to you." But learning through my son's sermon sometimes, there was things that I go, wow. They were dealing with that, you know. And I wish I had known so that I could be there more for them. As much as we tried and we did everything together, church was always about a family, us. Yeah. My husband always involved them in his retreats, he preaching, they sang, they did all the things. And so it still wasn't enough. They still struggled with things. And that was my guilt, that I feel I wish I had known more for what I know now, know back then.
Yeah. Thank you, Mom. Thank you. Thank you. How about you, babe?
I think for me, I can't speak for everybody, but I think what makes me feel guilty in motherhood is probably when the girls are like, "Mom, Mom, Mom," and I kind of like tune them out, and then then they're like, "Fine, whatever," and I'm like, "Oh man, she was talking to me," and I miss that moment, and then they don't want to tell me something. But also, I think actually like letting guilt get to me by like listening to the lies in my head that I'm not a good mom, or that I'm failing and stuff like that. So I think feeling like I let my thoughts get the best of me can make me feel really guilty and not really like believing in myself.
Yeah. Can anyone relate to that? Right? I think it's a common thing. So, Mom, did you have, when you gave birth to four boys, was it natural? Did you have medicine? Did you C-section? What was it like for you, Mom?
Back then, epidermal was not a thing that you could do, or C-sections, I don't know. I had them all natural, every one of them, no pain medicine, just
Did you say any bad words to Dad?
Huh?
Not playing. What? Did you say any bad words to Dad?
Oh, I just tell him, this is the last time I'm doing this again. And he goes, está bien, no más ese, amiga, no más ese. And then they were born, he goes, otro macho. And I'm like, ah. But girls, you can relate that once that baby is born, the pain is all gone. Yeah. It's gone. It's like, you didn't feel it. You're just like, wow, you know? So it's quite a trip.
About you, babe. I know the answer, but for the other women in the room.
Oh no, I had all C-sections. I had three. So it was different for me. It was very, very painful. I don't know what it's like to like be in labor or anything like that, but either way it hurts, okay? So but they're worth it. They're totally worth it.
With the first one, Micah, what was the reason why they suggested for her to be?
Oh, well, first of all, she came as a huge surprise to us because she came 4 weeks early. And in fact, Gabe was ready to leave out of town for Mike's wedding. And I ended up having her 3 days before Mike was supposed to get married, and he was the best man. So, oops, sorry. But we had a baby really early. And she was also breech, so she was feet first. She was not moving, not budging.
So that's why we had to do a C-section. And then once you had one, they recommended for you to do all of them that way. So when it comes to motherhood, you know, we talked about some of the funny things they said and some of the guilt that you feel. Have both of you, Mom, have you locked yourself? Did you lock yourself in the bathroom to get away from us?
You know, oh my gosh, as mothers, we wear all kinds of hats all day long. From the minute you get up, you're the chef, you're running around getting lunch ready, you're getting the kids ready for school, they're taking off, you're a taxi, and then you get back, and then your husband says, hey, don't forget to mail all those bills, then you're the taxpayer, and you're doing all this, you're the accountant, making sure you got money in the bank, and then you're the planner for your vacation, and you're doing all this, you're a housemaid, you're changing hats all night long. We're superwomen, by the way. We are. So then, you know, then you get a phone call, and it's the teacher and so forth. And she said, you got to come back. Your child is sick. You become a nurse. All day long, you're nursing this child. You go back to school, pick him up, bring him home, and you put him to bed. You get another phone call. Honey, did you not forget to take my clothes to the cleaners? Then you got to run out and take that. And then you get a call from the principal. And he says, your little boy's been fighting all day. What do you mean he's been fighting? Who started the fight? Well, ma'am, that's not the case. Oh, it is the case. It could be self-defense. We become a lawyer. We become a lawyer. Oh, yeah, we got a case here, all right? So I had all kinds of issues raising four boys. Plus, it wasn't just four boys. It was all the neighborhood. Foods was there eating our food, too, food. And we had Juan Luis, which was our neighbor, always spend holidays with us, went on vacation with us, like I didn't have enough boys. And they were always there. So during the day, guys, we change hats all day long.
Yeah.
All day long. So then you got dinner planning, you got this and that. And then your husband walks in the door and he says, "What you do all day, honey?" Oh my gosh, you just want to kill him, right? You just want to like, but you look a mess, you smell like pine saw, you've been cleaning, there's burp on you, and there's all kinds of dry milk on you, and you stink. Well, my husband used to tell me, "I don't want to come home and smell that." Well, who has got time to get ready for him? You know, it's hard. So anyway, I didn't have a mother-in-law, I didn't have a mother, I didn't have a sister in town. It was just me and my big family. And so luckily, we had a church van. We had a church van that we had to take it home because we did a lot of activities for the kids, and we always loaded up the van. But this was a nice van. At the very last row, it was a big, it was a 16-passenger van. And yes, I drove that all over the place. And I sat in the back, and one day I just sat down and, "Ooh, this is a nice little comfy she shed." So when we would park it in our house, I could hear the boys all day long, "Mom, where's this? Mom, Mom, I'm hungry. Mom, Mom." Mm-hmm. Never dad. And I used to tell them, "Why don't you call your dad sometimes? It's always Mom." So I would sneak out for a few minutes to relax in the van. I would sneak into the van, take a little pillow and a little candle, light it up, and just relax. But I could still hear them say, "Where's Mom? Where's Mom?" They were always looking for me. And I would relax a few minutes, just breathe, or sometimes read. Just breathe, you know? And so they never found that out until recently. They've been married. I told them that. "Is that where you used to go?" They didn't know, you know. You know, we have one bathroom and five, six people trying to use it. Uh-uh. You can't hide in there. I hid in the church van, girls. You may not have a church van, you may not have a van, but hey, you got an attic, clean it up. Make that your she shit. But it was fun growing up with all these boys, never a dull moment.
Yeah, good mama, good. Where do you hide, babe?
Nowhere, really. At Target?
That's a true story right there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a van, so I wish I did. I would hide in there.
Right.
But I need a she shed.
Yeah. So, how do you take care of yourself? Like, self-care is so important as a mom, because you're right. I mean, I saw you do all those things, Mom. I saw you, and now that we're parents, I'm like, how did you do it? And it's crazy because you cooked really, really good. And you did all those things, but how do you take care of yourself? How did you take care of yourself as a mom? And then I'll ask you the same question: self care.
As you get on the plane, the first thing you hear is put your oxygen mask on first, and then help others and little children. You can't do anything if you don't have the oxygen that you need. So you really need to unwind some way somehow. I really didn't have a getaway area except for my van, but in fact I wanted to buy it when they were selling it. But you know, it's just a thing that you've got to do, whether it's ride your bike around the block, just walk around the block, whatever you do. I used to do that around our block in our neighborhood, walk just to breathe a little bit. And then the thing is, your day is never finished. You're just like, when is this going to be over? After you've changed your hats all day long, you're at the end of your journey, you cleaned up the kitchen, everybody's going to bed, and then you walk into the bedroom and your husband's like, "Waiting for you, honey." And you're like, "Are you kidding me?" You know? Who's got the energy, right? But you've got to make that time for him, because there'll be a lot of trouble. Yeah. Anyway, you know, you've got to make time for yourself. Clean it up, and even if it takes a few minutes, and just be there for your family and yourself. Your spouse needs you very much.
It's good, Mama. It's good. It's good.
Self-care for me, besides going to Target, I don't go to Target every day. I wish. she doesn't like shopping. I honestly really didn't. It's been recently that I've actually made it intentional about taking care of myself, because I was finding that I was getting really moody and just in a bad mood. And that's, I felt like I'm not being a good mom to my girls because I'm not taking care of Mama. And so I started working out, and I really, really love doing that. And it really gives me a lot of peace. That actually was my word for the year, just to be a peaceful person. And I think it's going pretty good. I don't know, you live with me, but.
it's working.
So I think, honestly, just allowing yourself time to just think. It's hard to think when you just hear, Mom, 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 and give me a snack. And like you said, go ask your dad. You know, there's another adult here that can help you. But they just want Mom. And I think, I mean, why wouldn't they? They spent 9 months with us, and they want to return. So, but for self-care, yeah, I just, even if it's just like going to my room for a little bit, I'm like, Mom needs a timeout right now. Because I don't want to use my loud voice. So
yeah.
Just, I noticed when I started taking care of myself, it's been a lot better with the girls.
Yeah, awesome. So is yelling normal?
For me?
Yes.
Is it?
For moms.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm joking.
For me it is.
I'm just joking.
Throwing me under the bus.
No. No, I was just joking. I think being a mom is a stressful thing. I think that a lot of mothers, they lose themselves in the sense that they're always taking care of someone else, the baby, and so you kind of lose yourself. And so, yeah, the whole yelling thing was a joke. I know every mother. Have you ever yelled as a mom? Right? Let's normalize it. And as a dad, I have too. And so, but we want to honor both of you. You're very special to me, Mom. I mean, love you so much. You're just such a beautiful woman and lady, and I see you as a super woman for sure. And baby, I love you, and we want to honor you, and you're a bigger part of my life, and also Tree of Life as well. And so can we just stand and honor these women?
This message is to all the mothers and the women and men who love them. Now, mothers are incredible. They are amazing. They are sweet. They're strong, compassionate, thoughtful, resourceful. And we're so grateful to all the mothers, and we celebrate you today. But mothers often feel overwhelmed. They feel unnoticed, unappreciated, and insecure. So today, I want to speak to all the mothers. I want to encourage you. God put a word in my heart for you, and I believe it's going to be a blessing to you. It's going to help you. We're going to look at two women, Sarai and Hagar, and we're going to examine, and we're going to see how they related to each other and the struggles that they went through. I believe a lot of women and mothers can relate to them. And so Abram and Sarai, they can't have children. She is barren. So out of frustration, she comes up with a plan to have a surrogate mother. So she tells Abram, take Hagar, the maidservant, and have a child with her. Now, it sounds good. It sounds like it would work, but it didn't work. There was a lot of hostility, a lot of division, competition. And I'm telling you, it made their lives very, very difficult. They couldn't stand each other at some point. And so we're going to look at that story. So now Hagar's pregnant and Sarai's done. She's frustrated. She can't handle it anymore. And so she confronts her husband, Abram. And we'll find this in Genesis 16, 5 through 13. And we'll pick up on the story. Then Sarai said to Abram, "This is all your fault." Now, this is Sarai's idea, but he went along with it. And so I know a lot of men can relate to this. You have to learn to take the blame. "I put my servant into your arms, but now that she's pregnant, she treats me with contempt. The Lord will show who's wrong, you or me." So she's upset. Abram replied, "Look, she's your servant, so deal with her as you see fit." Then Sarai treated Hagar so harshly that she finally ran away. Do you ever feel like running, getting a one-way ticket to anywhere, somewhere? I'm telling you, you're going to be able to relate to Hagar. The angel of the Lord found Hagar beside a spring of water in the wilderness, along the road to Shur. The angel said to her, "Hagar, Sarah's servant, where have you come from and where are you going?" This is a question for self-awareness. "I'm running away from my mistress, Sarai," she replied. The angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit to her authority." Then he added, "I will give you more descendants than you can count." The angel also said, "You are now pregnant and will give birth to a son. You are to name him Ishmael, which means God hears. For the Lord has heard your cry of distress. This son of yours will be a wild man, as untamed as a wild donkey. He will raise his fist against everyone, and everyone will be against him. Yes, he will live in open hostility against all his relatives." Thereafter, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who had spoken to her. She said, catch this, "You are the God who sees me." She also said, "Have I truly seen the one who sees me?" That's amazing. So I have 2 points for you today, and I believe that it's going to encourage you on your journey as a mother. And the first point is that God hears you. Hagar had some resentment. She had issues with Sarai, and perhaps it's because it wasn't her idea. She was forced to comply. It wasn't what she expected. She didn't plan for things to turn out the way they did. And there are so many mothers that did not plan to be pregnant at such a young age or later in life, that you didn't plan on being a single mother, a single parent, being divorced. You didn't plan on having to work 2 jobs to raise your kids. As a grandmother, you didn't plan and expect to be raising your grandchildren because of circumstances. And so Hagar found herself in a situation that she didn't plan for things to turn out the way that they did, but she's going with it. Now Sarai, she has this dream, this desire to have a child. Now it's devastating to her that time after time she prays and she cries out to God and she does everything she can to get pregnant and nothing happens. And her cycle is late and she gets her hopes up, and then the cycle comes and then she realizes, "I'm still not pregnant." But then she sees Hagar that's not even really having a difficulty trying, and she gets pregnant immediately. And she has to deal with that. She has to deal with the fact that Hagar has something that she wants. And there's envy, there's comparison, there's ill feelings, because she sees and witnesses Hagar celebrating her baby bump. She's elated. She's glowing. She's not acting like a surrogate mother. She's acting like, this is my child, this is my baby. And her husband, Abram, is being affectionate and giving Hagar special treatment. And think about the competition that exists within mothers. That, you know, some mothers don't gain much weight during the pregnancy. As a matter of fact, it's all baby. Or they even lose weight and they just seem so happy and so beautiful and glowing. And then there are other mothers that have a difficult time. They get sick or they gain weight. It seems like they smell food and they start gaining weight. And there are some mothers that eat really healthy and organic food when they're pregnant, and there are other mothers that eat french fries, pickles, ice cream, popcorn, you name it, right? And so there are so many differences, and some mothers are thinking, you know what, we're gonna have this all natural, we're gonna do it all natural, no epidural. And then there are other mothers that are like, give me all the medicine that I can take without harming the child, because I don't want to go through that type of pain. There are mothers that have the baby a natural way, and others that have C-sections, and then some people complain that it's so just painful and hard, and other mothers will say, well, it wasn't that difficult for me, and they make it look easy. But there's a lot of competition. Some mothers breastfeed, others formula, some work, some stay at home, some have all boys, some have all girls, like my wife and I. And so some mothers are like, you know what, well, boys are so easy, girls are complicated. And there's a lot of comparison within mothers and competition. And it shows up and it creates tension. And sometimes your mother-in-law has ideas and experience, and sometimes she doesn't wait to be invited into a conversation. She just gives her opinion on how mothering should be. And you feel that tension. You feel that tension and that competition, it exists. Some mothers, they They basically promote and they brag about their children, and I do too. I'm very proud of my girls, but there's a lot of comparison. My kids are smarter, they're well-behaved, my kids are prettier than yours, my kids are cooler than yours, they have swag, your kids need more swag, my kids got Jordans, and your kids got Payless, if you remember what that is. But anyway, the issue is that instead of comparing yourself to another mother, I think it's important to celebrate the mothers that are doing things well, because some mothers, I'm telling you, they're hitting it out the park. They make mothering look easy, and I think that all mothers are doing an amazing job. You're doing the best that you can, and you're doing great things, but you can learn from each other. And Hagar and Sarai, they have such tension, such division, they could no longer carry a conversation. They could not live in the same place. So Hagar runs away. She comes to an end of herself. She has no plan. She doesn't know where she's going. She just knows I can't stay here any longer. So she runs away. And this is where God intervenes. Oftentimes when we are done, when we surrender, God shows up because we're humble. And then the angel of the Lord said to her, "You are pregnant and you're going to give birth to a son and you are to name him Ishmael," which means God hears. I think that's beautiful. That's a revelation. Knowing that God hears, like to the woman who had postpartum depression, God understands and he hears. To the woman that feels guilty because she doesn't want to be pregnant, God hears. To the woman that is praying and crying out to God because you want a child so bad, God hears. To the person that's praying and waiting for the people to give her news about the adoption. She wants to adopt a baby. She's in waiting. God sees you. He understands. God, he hears your prayers. To the mother that's raising her children alone and she's a single mother, God hears you. To the mother that's working two jobs, doing everything that she can, God hears. To the mother that is praying for her sick child or a special needs child, God hears you. Understanding that God is the God who hears our prayers, he hears our cries, it's super important. And so I want you to know that wherever you are right now, when you pray for that troubled teenager, when you pray for your son that may be incarcerated, when you pray for your son or daughter that may be going through a separation or they're going through financial distress, whatever the case is, God, he hears your prayers. God hears you. Now, the second revelation, the second point that we'll see in this story is that God sees you. God sees you when you drink lukewarm coffee because you're so busy you don't get to drink it hot because you're being a mother. God sees you when you eat cold food because you're the last one to eat because you're serving everyone else. God sees you in your successes. He sees you in your struggles. Now, the angel asked Hagar two important questions. These questions were the key to her breakthrough. The first question is, where are you coming from? Now, this is a question of self-awareness, of reality, it's a question of what are you leaving? What issue are you dismissing? What are you avoiding? What do you not want to talk about? What are you running from? What's your family of origin? What cycles are you repeating? What struggles are you currently struggling with that your parents struggled with? Where are you coming from? What are you refusing to deal with? And the reason why Hagar was running from her past is because she was hurt. And when hurt is not dealt with, it turns into anger. And anger over time, it festers and it turns into bitterness and strife and hurt people. And so what happens if we dismiss the past or we don't deal with it, it messes with our present and our future. And so I want you to ask yourself that question. Take a moment to reflect. What am I repeating? What cycles are continuing in my life that I don't want my kids to go through? I don't want them to face the same battles that I'm facing. I want to overcome these issues so that my kids don't have to deal with the same things. I don't want to repeat any more cycles, so I'm going to return. I'm going to reflect on where I come from, my family of origin, and also The other question, the second question is, where are you going? She didn't know where she was going. She was so frustrated, and there's a saying that never make a decision while frustrated because it messes with your ability to make a wise decision. It clutters your brain when you're angry, when you're upset, when you're emotional. She didn't know where she was going. All she knew was, I'm getting away from that woman, from that situation. But the angel tells her to return. Go back to your mistress, Sarai, and deal with the issue. Submit to her authority. Apologize. The Bible says that Hagar was the first one to show contempt. Then Sarai was now responding to that contempt. And so the issue is that Hagar had a bad attitude. She was prideful, and she had reasons for those things, but she did not submit to the authority of Sarai. She didn't see her as a mentor. She wasn't teachable. She wasn't obedient. She did not have the right attitude. She was holding on to some sins. She was refusing to forgive Sarai. So the angel said, go back and submit to her authority. You see, it's important for you to deal with the past, because if you don't, it's going to deal with your present and your future. So when we go back to deal with the past, only then can we move forward into the future. And so what does that look like to submit to authority? And I know that we've been hurt by authorities, by coaches, leaders, pastors, bosses, parents. We've been hurt by those that we trusted at some point. And they were controlling, manipulative. They abused us in some way. And I understand that. But true authority that comes from God does three things. They provide, they protect, and they promote. And when we submit to God's authority and we ask Him to lead us to mentors or to put grace in our hearts so that we can give grace to those who have hurt us or to forgive as we have been forgiven, we submit to authority. We're teachable. We ask questions. We invite people in on the conversation. We steady on a regular basis. We forgive those that we love the most. We submit to authority, God's authority, His word. And I believe that breakthrough comes when we yield. The key to breakthrough is yielding. You see, if we're hurt, it turns into anger, strife, bitterness. And what keeps us in that same state of dysfunction is pride. Pride will keep you from apologizing. Pride will keep you from your destiny and your future. It'll keep you stuck. Pride will keep you from going back to where you're coming from, to your family of origin, to that person, to apologize, to say, I had the wrong attitude. Forgive me for my reaction. Forgive me for my disrespect. I apologize. That is the key to breakthrough, is returning with a humble heart. And that's what Hagar did. She returned, she apologized, and she was able to be protected, provided for, and to be promoted. Her son Ishmael became a great nation because she submitted to authority. And I believe this will bless you if you do that. See, God, He sees you in the waiting. He sees you in the struggle. He sees you when you feel insecure, when you go through anxious moments and you're worried. He sees you when someone is rude to you, and instead of you being rude to them, you're kind to them. God sees you when you obey. He sees you when you celebrate. God sees you when you're praying and you're believing for God to answer your prayer so that you could have a family. He sees you as a single mother, as a single parent. God, He sees you when you're taking treatments because you want to get pregnant. See, God, He sees you in it all. He sees you when you're crying out to Him for healing because you have some type of sickness, emotional, spiritual, physical sickness. God, He sees you. But the key to the breakthrough is submitting to God's authority, the authority of His word, and the authorities that He's placed in your life. That's why the scripture says to honor your mother and your father, because it comes with a promise. He says so that you can have a good life and a long life. You see, when we go back and we ask them to forgive us for our reaction, for holding on to things, your mother or your father, I believe that your future and your present will be blessed. See, God, He hears your prayers. Absolutely, He does. He is near to the brokenhearted, and God, He sees you. And I love what Hagar says. He says, I have seen the one who sees me. It's two ways. I see him, he sees me. And I believe that God is seeing you in your state of humility. So I pray that this message bless your relationships. I pray that this message bless your children. You can't even imagine the type of impact you have had on your children and will have. I am here because of my mother. She impacted me so much that I serve the Lord because she was a great example to me. I'm here because of the love that she gave, the prayers that she gave, the tears that she shed for me. That's why I'm here. You're making an incredible impact. You're doing better than what you realize. But God has so much more for you. And the key is to submit to His authority. His promises are yes and amen. When you believe them, I believe that you receive them. And so I'm going to pray for you. And I pray that you have an incredible rest of your day. And we honor you and celebrate you. Father, I pray for every mother. They're doing the best that they can. I pray that you break cycles and patterns as they yield and submit to you, as they apologize, even when they feel that they were wronged. Thank you, God, for giving them the grace to bless those who hurt them. Thank you, God, that as they return and they surrender to you their past, you will bless their present and their future. I thank you for being with every mother, giving them the grace to bless their children, to provide for them, to protect them, and to promote them. I thank you for every mother expecting those that are in labor or will be in labor. Lord, I pray for every mother that's watching, that's listening. Thank you for your special blessing upon them as we celebrate mothers today. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May His face shine upon you. May He be gracious to you. May God lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to the message of the week. Help us spread the good news of the gospel by sharing this message with friends and family. For more information, visit our website, treeoflife.church, or across social media at Tree of Life Church. See you next week.